Hi there, and welcome back to the Connect event day two. And I'm here for the debugging and profiling session with two great guys from engineering. So why don't you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, my name is Andrew Hall. I'm a program manager on the diagnostics team in Visual Studio. I spend most of my day thinking about the debugger, but definitely spend some time thinking about IntelliTrace and profiling as well.
I think most developers spend most of their day thinking about the debugger. You're in good company.
Yep, and I'm Dan Taylor. I'm also a program manager on the diagnostics team. The time when Andrew's not thinking about the profiler, I'm spending most of my time thinking about the profiler and performance tooling.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for coming on. So we have a lot to talk about. Visual Studio 2015 shipped a bunch of great new features, and you've been shipping in CTPs, right? So things we're going to show today, talk about, are not just like previews the first time people are seeing them. And if anything is, please call it out. I think people would love to know. But let's just start talking about it right away. I think the debugger is something that our audience can understand, right? This isn't like, we don't have to go explain, like in some other sessions, what this thing is. It's our debugger. It's getting better. So go ahead. Why don't you tell us what got better? How is it?
Yeah, so the two big things that have gotten better for preview, one of them shipped in CTP 3, and then one of them is brand new in the preview bits that were available yesterday. Mm-hmm. So the first one is we improved the breakpoints experience in Visual Studio, and the second one is we now support executing link expressions or lambda expressions in the debugger watch window, so immediate window, watch window.
That's a user watch, kind of, user voice kind of issue, right? People really wanted
the lambda. Absolutely. It was in the debugger space.
That's how I know.
Yeah, absolutely. It was our top voted thing in the debugger space. So we definitely try to go hit the top things that people are asking us for on user voice.
Cool. All right, so let's talk about breakpoints first, kind of just to have a logical order to it. And when it comes to breakpoints, does it work for every kind of breakpoint? In other words, across languages, platforms, what are some of the things people should know? The thing that I hate about, sometimes I see a demo and I get excited, and then I try it in language X, and I'm like, oh, it doesn't seem to look like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is basically the UI goodness that Visual Studio brings, and the UI for breakpoints is universal across language that you're debugging in Visual Studio.
So C#, F#, JavaScript, whatever you put a breakpoint.
Exactly. C#, F#, Visual Basic, even the new C++ on Android that we just shipped yesterday. If you were using third-party plugin tools, Node.js, Python, like anywhere that you can set a breakpoint, you can benefit from this UI goodness and the experience. So it should not be language dependent.
Cool, so let's take a look at it.
Do we go jump in and take a look?
Yeah.
All right, so I have here a client and server application. I'm just going to go ahead and run it really quick. And you'll notice that when I launch it, it's going to run a test harness. And you can see that a bunch of stuff is failing when I try to execute this application.
It's a beautiful application. You spend a lot of time on the UX here.
It is.
It's like a keynote demos almost. You've got, is it my shuttle? Sorry, I spent so much time looking at the keynote demos, and man, those guys had a good UX team, I'll tell you that.
And so notice when I set a breakpoint because I want to come in and debug and figure out why the server side is failing. And the first thing that you'll notice is when I first set this breakpoint, this little toolbar popped up.
Yeah, that's
so no more driving people to the context menu to find an interesting functionality in Visual Studio. It pops up when I set the breakpoint. So if I set it with the mouse, you'll notice it's there. When I move the mouse away, it'll fade away, so it's not in my way.
It's not in your way, but it's easier to discover.
It's easier to discover, absolutely. And if I set this with the keyboard, which I can also do from here, you notice that it pops up right away and then fades away. So even if you're a keyboard-oriented person, we're going to let you know that this advanced functionality is available.
Right, give you a hint of it. Sure.
Absolutely. And so I can open the settings pane. There is a keyboard shortcut for this as well, which the context menu will tell you. So again, you don't have to use the mouse if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. But you come in and we've split up the breakpoints UI if you want to ask the debugger to break only under certain conditions, the concept of conditions and actions. So breakpoints are always implicitly a condition and action, even if you haven't thought about them that way before. You're asking the debugger when execution reaches a certain location, that's your condition, break, and that's your action. So we've tried to keep that metaphor and help people think about it in that way as we keep going forward. So I have a couple conditions that are available to me. The first type of thing I have is a conditional expression. This is conceptually anything I could type inside an if statement in my application.
Right, so if value is X or true or something, then, then you execute a breakpoint.
So I'm gonna go ahead and move this breakpoint down a couple lines, and I wanna focus on this. And let's say, from a condition perspective, I wanna say if decoded type. Now, you'll notice I have IntelliSense here. I'm debugging C#.
Cool, yeah.
The IntelliSense, per your question earlier, is language specific. So There's certain things that languages have to do to implement IntelliSense. So if you were using like Python or Node.js or something, you're not going to see IntelliSense.
Right. But they have the option. Those teams, people can vote and ask them, and they can build in. This is extensible. And also, this is basically the peak window, right? I mean, that's what I'm starting to feel like when I see it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is peak. And so you'll notice, let me go ahead and finish this condition. Let me go ahead and say desktop and see what happens. And notice that I can continue to interact with my editor. I don't have to make this go away. I can highlight. I can type if I wanted.
Yeah, you can kind of still see the condition that you said or whatever the properties are, and you can just dismiss it by closing it.
Exactly. I can dismiss it by closing it precisely. Cool. Now, let's say I want to go disable this now that I've gotten my condition set up. And this is something that's going to be brand new for preview. When I do that, let's say I go to disable it, but I accidentally click and delete it. Well, now undo will bring my breakpoint back. So that was another thing that we had a lot of people ask us for.
I've had this myself. I fully appreciate it. Sometimes you spend a bunch of time to figure out what the condition should be, you know, which failure should I set? Okay, 25 loops in, you know, stop this thing, and then you lose it. And you're like, what was the number? Was it 25? I forget because you have like three of them. Certainly a real world scenario there. Cool.
Especially if you deleted that line of code and then the breakpoint went away. And
Undo
to get back to it and maybe copy the expression out before setting it again.
That's cool, yeah.
So I'm trying to keep going with it. Mm-hmm. I think I was talking about the various types of conditions that we had available to us. So a conditional expression I mentioned is anything you type in an if statement. I can make it as complex or as simple as I want. So I could say and true and not false, or I could use parentheses, or anything that could be typed in the syntax here has to match the language that you're coding in. Mm-hmm. So if I'm doing C#, I make it look like this. If I was doing Visual Basic, it would be a single equals. If I was in JavaScript, maybe I'd want to use a triple equals. Mm-hmm. Think about basically the debugger is going to take this and it's going to pass it to the language that you're executing in and say, ask it to basically compile that expression. So the syntax needs to be whatever language you're programming. This is not debugger specific. This matches exactly. Should match the source code that you're setting the breakpoint in.
Cool.
The other types of conditions we had, notice that I can combine them.
You can have multiples, nice.
Absolutely, so I could have a conditional expression and a hit count, for example. Hit count, you talked about it a little bit a minute ago, but it evaluates based on the number of times that the breakpoint's hit.
Yeah, when you have loops, it's very common. You want to stop it only after some time to see, is this thing growing, the variable, you know, growing the way I expect it to?
Exactly, and so I could say, you know, my hit count equals 25, or my hit count is a multiple of 5, so I could take a sampling-based approach to the way that I'm thinking about solving my problem.
So you couldn't do this before, right?
Could do this before. So this is the
way you re-visualize it, right? This is the new UI, but all the capabilities are pretty much similar to what you could do before.
That's correct. Everything I'm showing here is functionality that was available in our previous version of Visual Studio. You had to go to the context menu. Each of the conditions, there was a separate entry in this context
menu.
Maybe
that's why I'm not thinking about it that way, right?
A nice gray modal dialog that you had to deal with, and then you had to dismiss before you could come back to using it. And you could have combined them, but it was incredibly undiscoverable that you had to go to two different context menus to add two different conditions.
You know what? I bet you I never even thought of it that way because of it. Yeah, this makes it much easier. I like it.
And so then the final type of condition we have is something we call a filter. And notice we've added IntelliSense support for these as well. That's new in 2015 over what we had in previous versions. And this is really useful when you're debugging code that's executing in parallel. Maybe you're remote debugging to several machines. You have the same code running in Azure. Only one of them's creating a specific problem. And so you want to say, okay, only when the machine name is this. Or maybe you're sharing a particular DLL between several processes, and the only problem only occurs in the client process, but the server process is also sharing the code, and you can ask the debugger to basically only break based on machine, process, or thread information.
Right. Yeah, that becomes your filter, then you have your conditions, and in combination, you'll stop hopefully at the right time in the right thread.
Absolutely. And one of the other really cool features that not everybody knows about the debugger is calling it log a message here. In previous versions, this was the when hit context menu. It's something we call a trace point internally to Visual Studio. And this allows me to print a message to the output window. And then you notice this checkbox down here. By default, it'll continue execution as opposed to
stopping
the debugger. Right. And this is really useful when you're trying to deal with iterative things. So maybe you're in a for loop or a for each loop and something's going wrong, but you're not sure where it is. And you ask the debugger to just print this to the output window. So, you know, it dumps 50 or 60 things to the output window and you go back and look through it as opposed to stopping the debugger, inspect stuff, hit F5, stop the debugger, inspect stuff.
Yeah, that's very cool. But so when you check continue execution, does it care that there's a condition that could cause
so the condition will apply before it actually evaluates this. Mm-hmm. So in this particular case, where I said decoded type equals
it would still break
desktop,
for that condition, but it would. But if it didn't hit that condition, it would start logging potentially.
It will not. The action is only performed when the condition is satisfied.
Okay, I see.
As I mentioned earlier, implicitly, you always have the action of break.
I see.
We don't actually expose that here, but we're basically now saying you can do additional things when all the conditions have been satisfied.
Okay, makes sense. Cool. All right, it's a cool feature. So we have a question coming in from Bill. This is the question that's near and dear to also a lot of developers' heart, which is, when you want to try 2015 on a project that you really are working on in 2013, where you'll have any problems going back and forth. It's not particularly your guys' area, but I think you can probably help answer that. We have the support to do that since 2012, I think. In other words, open a project that was developed in a previous version without breaking it, which was how historically Microsoft built its project system. That upgrade menu would come up, and yeah, you'd be scared to have to death. Now my team can't open this project.
So the short answer is, for most project types, Visual Studio will not break it in a way that will prevent you from going backwards. Starting in Visual Studio 2012, we dedicated ourselves to trying to be forward and backward compatible, start with 2010. And so, in most project types, it's not going to force you to upgrade. There are some project types that for various reasons have to upgrade, so I can't say with 100% certainty, but the majority of them will not break it in a way that will prevent you from going back.
Yeah, and you'll certainly get, you'll know if that's the case, because you'll get an upgrade this project dialog.
You'll get a warning, you'll have to take an action, it's not automatic. So thank you, Bill, good question. There's also a question coming in from Nishant about the debugger ability to work against interfaces.
Nishant, I'm not sure I 100% understand that question. The debugger tends to be a relatively source-focused tool.
Right. Interface doesn't. You can't break in an interface, right? That's the reality. You can break in a code that uses that interface.
Correct. Right. Because an interface doesn't actually have an implementation. We do have various functionality. Disassembly support, function breakpoints, things like that. That'll sort of allow you to set breakpoints without access to the actual source. But Nishant, if you want to enter a follow-up question, maybe I can answer that better.
Cool. There's also a question about Community Edition. Lots of developers are excited about Community. The things you're showing here today, features in Community 2013? I mean, obviously, you're showing 2015 features, so I think they're looking forward, but are these features you would expect to appear in Community at some point when next version ships?
So the short answer is, the engineering team, we don't specifically own SKU decisions. But for the breakpoint stuff specifically, anywhere that breakpoints are supported, you're going to inherit the UI. So I think it's not much of a stretch to say that in any Visual Studio edition that they're going to support breakpoints, so you would get this goodness.
Yeah. And I would agree. From a product management side, just I happen to be able to comment there, I would say things like breakpoints, things in the immediate windows that we're going to show, lots of things will be kind of universal. Things like profiling tools, that sometimes matters, and I don't have it in my head. I'm not going to try to defend every SKU here, but Community, I think, will have a lot of these cool features. So thank you very much for that question. Also, another question is coming in around the debugger. For WPF, binding expression debugging, I wish Winnie was here, or somebody from the XAML team. Do you guys have any insight if they've done any sort of debugger work in 2015 for XAML debugging? XAML breakpoints.
There is some work. You saw some of it demoed in the keynote yesterday, being put in by the team that owns the XAML designers and around debugging XAML stuff. I'm not the expert in that area, so.
But they should go watch the keynote, I guess.
It was a brief demo, but I'd encourage to follow up with people that are experts in that scenario. I can tell you that they are putting some work into trying to improve people's experience with debugging XAML, but I don't have specific working bits. In fact, in the keynote yesterday, it was called out that those bits are not in 2015 preview.
Sure.
So it's still very much a work in progress.
Yeah. And we'll do more on that. We'll make sure there's more content on XAML debugging. I think it's a great topic, but we're kind of focused on source code here for languages, not UI.
Yeah.
Cool.
Fortunately, I'm just not the right person.
No problem. All right, so let's move on to the next thing that you wanted to show us, or let's finish this demo, I guess is the right say.
So I think we're basically done. We've walked through the concept of UI and conditional breakpoints. So I'm going to go ahead and just make this a regular old breakpoint. And let's come in and let's hit a breakpoint on my server-side code. Let's say I want to start figuring out all the things that are in this particular application. So I'm going to go ahead and step over this. and I can see that my decoded type is something gibberish. And so the number of apps that are is gonna come back if I go look at it in the watch window.
This is a live demo, of course you're gonna have something
like that.
It's
gonna ultimately be zero. But let's say hypothetically I wanted to start executing. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna go ahead and stop debugging and restart again because
folks, did we mention it's a preview? It's a preview. We're doing our best.
So let's go ahead to the immediate one. Let's say I want to start executing Lambda expressions against this data source applications collection because I want to do some live querying to understand what's going on in Visual Studio.
Yeah, this is a very common frustration point where you realize that you can't. So you're about to show us how awesome it is when you can.
Data source. Whoops. Data applications, select. Now let's say I want to know what application types I have in here. I'm going to have to dump this to a list at the moment. Otherwise, it'll just tell me I have a lazy expression that's about to lazy evaluate. And if I were to do this in Visual Studio 2013 or Visual Studio 2012, I'm going to see this message that says Lambda expressions cannot, expressions cannot contain Lambda expressions.
I have cried so many times over that.
So now, Visual Studio 2015, I hit enter.
Magic.
And you're going to see it's going to execute. I'm able to execute my Lambda expressions in my watch window. So you notice, for example, that I did this in the immediate window. I was able to use sort of the link query syntax. I can also use this syntax directly for my application if I wanted to. I could say execute this in here, for example. Just go ahead and paste in my what I have in my application. And so you can see that I'm able to execute them in both the watch window and the immediate window. Anywhere I can type in an expression to evaluate in the debugger now supports link and Lambda expressions.
Cool. Yeah, that's very cool. I think developers out there are going to love it. We have another question for you, which is around the previous topic around breakpoints. So IntelliTrace is somewhere where you can also log information that's happening. So when you had the action up earlier, can you log to IntelliTrace and not console?
So the short answer is we are working on that. Mm-hmm. And IntelliTrace, a trace point, IntelliTrace captures breakpoint events. And so you'll see that show up in the IntelliTrace log. There's a few quirks in the integration right now that we're working to try to make sure that trace points have first-class integration with IntelliTrace. So when you hit a trace point, it'll just show up with all your relevant information in our new 2015 IntelliTrace experience once we're able to ship it.
Cool. Yeah, and I know that we were hoping to talk about IntelliTrace in this session. The IntelliTrace PM should have been standing somewhere here. But, it is what it is with a release like this, right? It's a preview release. We got as much out that we felt was stable, and I think folks can really expect a lot of cool stuff. I'm not going to spoil everything for you, but a lot of cool stuff for IntelliTrace is coming down the pike. All right, so that's cool. Is there any limitations when it comes to, this is a question from Dimitri now, when it comes to using these Lambda expressions? I know there's always some caveats, and we talked about one of them earlier around SQL, around using these in conditional breakpoints. So let's put those on the table for folks.
Yeah, so in the preview release right now, we have a limitation that if the underlying sort of execution of what you're querying requires any native code to execute, it's not going to succeed. So what we actually do is this gets compiled in memory by the debugger and it gets interpreted. And so we're only able to do basically pure managed code. So one example of something that requires native code to execute under the covers is linked to SQL. Right. So if I tried to directly query a database from here, I'm going to get a message basically saying that that's not a supported expression at this point.
Sure. Okay. I think it's always good to know limitations and we can always try to make it better in the future.
Yeah, the other probably big thing that's worth mentioning is, again, this is a preview problem. I will say that this will definitely be fixed by the time Visual Studio 2015 ships for the RTM version, but we don't work against core CLR right now, and so that means this isn't going to work if you're debugging Windows Phone. It's not going to work when you're debugging ASP.NET vNext with the preview edition of Visual Studio.
Yeah, so the things that we used to call cloud optimized, the ASP.NET vNext, things we're now calling ASP.NET 5 core, just to make it easier for the audience to understand what the heck we're talking about. So all those new ASP.NET features, they're going to be supported by this, just not yet. It's just the timing.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so are those the two demos you wanted to show?
Those are, the two things I wanted to show from the debugger.
Okay, awesome. Well, folks, keep the questions coming. Our demo is not going anywhere, but let's move on to the next thing that we wanted to discuss, which is around some of our profiling tools and other things. So if you're ready, you can take the helm here.
Yeah, so what I'm going to show is some of the investments we've been making in this release and bringing some of the profiling information into the debugging experience. So in Visual Studio 2013, we added the Performance and Diagnostics Hub with a bunch of profiling tools when we RTM'd, and then with each update, we continually added more profiling tools, CPU, memory, GPU profiling.
Yeah, there's quite a big list now. Depending on what you're targeting, but...
I have trouble keeping it all in my head.
Yeah.
And so what we're starting to do is, with those profiling tools, you'll often, you know, when you have a performance issue, you want to like stop everything that you're doing, go to the Performance and Diagnostics Hub, run a separate set of profiling tools and spend some time investigating. That experience, you know, it takes a while to get into, and it's sort of this separate set of actions that doesn't play nicely into your everyday edit, compile.
It's not that F5 experience that you're constantly doing. Right.
So what we're doing with Visual Studio 2015 is we're starting to bring performance information right into the debugger as you're setting breakpoints and stepping, so that you can sort of keep your eye on performance, monitor performance, and learn a little bit about the performance characteristics as your code, just as part of your everyday development cycle. So I can just dive right in and show you what that looks like.
Sure, let's take a look.
So I'm going to press F5, and I've got this application here, which takes a long time to start up. It's this photo viewing application. And it's just going to be downloading some pictures from the cloud, loading some pictures from the disk. And we're seeing here that it took a long time for the pictures to be displayed in this application, right? So one thing I might do as a developer is just go into the load images function of my application and set a breakpoint and just start stepping, because maybe I want to know which code is running and just sort of get an understanding of what the code is doing. Mm-hmm. So right away, the first breakpoint that I set when I step, you'll see what we call the debugger perf tips. It's telling me that the previous line took up to 10 milliseconds to run. And this will show up anytime you set you step or go from breakpoint to breakpoint in the debugger. So for example, I can set a breakpoint down here, and I can press F5 and run to it. And then it's telling me that these two lines here completed in less than 10 milliseconds. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some debug overhead included in this because we're running with the debugger.
That'll be my next question, right? I mean, what is it costing the developer? Because that's something that I think people are sensitive to. They know while they're debugging, they can already expect a little lower performance, but it's good to understand the delta, right? As you're adding more and more capabilities and benefits, awesome, but now doing to be aware that's not breaking my scenario.
So the really good thing about the perf tips is the overhead to developers is almost zero. It costs almost nothing for us to surface the information here, because the way we've implemented it is we actually start a stopwatch before you start when you press F5, and then when we hit break, we end the stopwatch. We subtract out a bit of debugger overhead in the middle, but that's the cost of displaying this information does not slow down your debugging experience.
It's not some other tool that you're running. Yeah. This is just part of a small timer code. Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. And now you can no longer see how long it took from like the first to the second line, right? In other words, the perf tip is only available, it looks like, on the line you currently stopped. Is that fair to say? Or can you go, like, if you forgot, was that 10 seconds or 15? Like, I have no way to do that unless I run again.
Yeah, you actually have to run the piece of code you're interested in to see the perf tip. A lot of people have requested, hey, can you show me the history of perf tips?
We're thinking about something along those lines. I know you're the right person to ask.
So I'm going to show a couple other, just to complete my earlier talk about the debugger overhead that's included with these perf tips, we can actually give you the upper bound of how long it took to run this application. Mm-hmm. Things run faster when in release mode and without the debugger.
Sure.
So what this information here tells me is I can ignore these lines from my performance investigation, right? So I can go into this get images from cloud method here, and I can see how long it takes to do the various things associated with downloading the pictures from the cloud. And I noticed that this method is broken down into two main portions. The first just gets the list of pictures that are available, and then the second one goes and downloads each of them one at a time, right? So I can actually run to the very first line of this method using run to cursor. I'll show that again in a second. I did right clicked and went run to cursor. And then I can run to cursor here, which is at the end of the code that gets a list of pictures from the cloud. And I can just, without even having to set a breakpoint or step, I can time how long it took to go and download that list of pictures from the cloud here. And you can see that, in fact, I do have that list of pictures available, right?
Nice.
And then I can, last time I did run to cursor, with the right click, I can just press Control F10 to then time how long it takes to download all the pictures once I've gotten that list.
cool. So we're getting some questions around kind of the web debug scenario. So I'll combine a few questions into one, which is, I think everything we're showing, we said this before, right? It works in, like, for example, managed code, right? C#, F#, you know, C++, all these breakpoints, all of these, even these tips, right, appear for all those languages, right? So there's no problem. Does any of this translate to JavaScript breakpoints in JavaScript? Can you see perf tips, let's say, in JavaScript side?
Yeah, right now perf tips will show up if you're debugging JavaScript as well. Anything that uses our new debug engine.
Okay.
And it works for C++ as well.
Yeah, so let's say you're working in a Cordova app or something, you can get that sort of level of detail.
I'm not certain about Cordova because the debug engine there might not support it.
Okay.
That's correct. So yeah. I think the way to think about this is, as I mentioned before, the breakpoints improvements is basically Visual Studio UI. So anybody that uses a Visual Studio breakpoints UI, you get that benefit. It doesn't matter if it's JavaScript. It doesn't matter if it's JavaScript running on iOS or Android through Cordova, because it's basically the sort of UI that sets the breakpoint. Mm-hmm. Perf tips, in order to make them accurate, you basically need to put that start and stop stopwatch as close to the code as you can. So before the debugger resumes and it's executing it. So we've implemented this in sort of our Visual Studio debugger right before we tell the program that it's okay to run again. We start the stopwatch, and the instant the program stops, we call that stop. But in something like Cordova, we're actually debugging against whatever the JavaScript engine is that's executing on that device. And so those engines at the moment don't support that capability, so you're not going to see perf tips in those scenarios.
Okay, but if they do, you guys would surface that information, right? It's not a matter of like many things. I think Visual Studio, what folks maybe don't realize when they're looking at all these great capabilities, you're building something that's often extensible, but to other teams. But other teams need to make investments to make it real.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Please give those teams feedback if it's useful. We're getting a question in which I'm not sure. I'm not going to try to say the name. I'm going to mess it up. I apologize. But it's a good question around C++ debugging. We're making improvements to C++ debugging for large code bases. I don't know if you guys are the right folks to ask.
I am the right person.
Okay. Let's talk about there.
So I think there's three things. I have two things to talk about, and I think Dan has one thing to talk about. So the first thing that we've done, there's a blog post that I put up with CTP4, I guess, on the VC blog, so if you go look for it, you'll find it. But we, by default, suppress the operating system's debug heap, so that means when you press F5 against a large C++ application, it's going to start significantly faster by default without having to go tweak any settings. The other thing that we've done, and it's a little bit smaller feature, but a lot of people need to debug things by executing functions from the immediate window or the watch windows, and we've basically decreased the capability that if that deadlocks, it's going to actually screw up the process. So we detect if when you call a function from the immediate window or from the watch window, if it's trying to take a lock on anything else already holds a lock on from another thread in that process. And then if it does, we're going to try to let those threads run so that they can release the lock and your function can execute to completion.
Cool. And you had one?
I do have one thing to show, and this actually goes well into my next demo. One thing we've also been working on is I mentioned that we had a memory profiler before in VS 2013. And we're actually, this is something that is in the preview, but it's hidden under a registry key. We've blogged about it this morning. So if you go to the Visual Studio ALM blog, you'll see that we've posted the instructions for how to turn this on. Wasn't quite ready to the quality bar that we wanted for the preview, but it's good enough that we could still make it available for people out there to try out.
So it's like a preview plus hidden
preview
feature.
Preview plus. We really, we really need feedback from everyone, so we want to make as much available to the community as we can.
Sure.
So I'm just going to press F5 here, and hopefully it's working. Okay.
So it's a new diagnostic tool.
Right. So what we have is when you turn this registry key on, again, you can go to our blog post for instructions of which registry key to set. When you press F5, you get this new diagnostic tools window here. And this diagnostic tools window right now just contains the memory tool. And this memory tool works for both managed and native projects, so you can use this for large C++ code bases as well. But as I'm stepping over here, we can see that the memory graph runs as my application is running, and then when I hit this next breakpoint, the graph stops ticking along. Mm-hmm. And I'm right before this load images from disk function call here, and maybe I want to see what the memory impact of running this line of code is.
You want to get a comparative, right? So you want a before and after, depending on what you want to try. And this is similar to the other memory tools that we have for, managed code debugging.
Yeah, so the big difference here with the memory tools that we've shipped previously is that this is integrated into the debugging experience. So I can actually go and I can take a snapshot before I run this line of code. And then if I step over it, I can see that the memory graph spikes up there. So I can see what the impact of running that line of code is. Yeah. And then I can go ahead and take another snapshot and start drilling into the difference between those by clicking on this plus objects here.
Cool. So it's a real time. It's giving you real time information yep. while you're debugging. You don't have to stop and analyze the data, which is more right. traditional in right. other tools.
And also lets me run just the code I'm interested in and see the results of doing that, which cool. really filters down a lot of the noise here.
Cool.
And so I can also click on one of these nodes here. I can see the reference types of the object and see what it's holding on to. And if I keep drilling in here, I'll make this quick. I can see that one of the reasons for this memory increase is because when I load the pictures from the disk, I'm going ahead and decoding all the bitmap images into memory as defined by this bitmap image type here, which is the in-memory representation.
So you can catch sort of why the memory increase is happening. Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And to turn on native profiling here, if you actually go to the project properties of the project, we actually key off of the debug engine. So if I were to switch this from managed only to mixed, managed, and native, I would be also able to profile the native allocations that happened from that line of code as well.
Cool.
Or if you then did native only, you'd be native only memory profiling.
Right, and then you'd see all the memory allocations that resulted from lines of code. So C++ developers really care about allocations a lot, and so this tool will help you see which allocations are happening while you're debugging.
Cool. We have some more questions coming in, so let's address them.
Sure.
One question which isn't specifically related to any of the demos we're doing, but you know, I'll throw it out there, which is how do you support remote debugging a process in production using VS 2013? We certainly do have that with like IntelliTrace. Maybe you guys can talk about sort of what options developers have.
Yeah, so remote debugging, assuming that you have network access to that production environment, there should be plenty of documentation on this in MSDN. But you install the remote diagnostic tools. They're a free download. You start up the remote debugger on that machine, and then it should offer to punch the right holes in the firewall. If you're using the Windows firewall, if you have a third-party firewall, you may have to sort of do your own configuration. And then from Visual Studio, in the attached to process dialog, you just point it at that machine, and it should, yep, there you go, under the qualifier. You can basically enter that machine name or IP address. And go.
Cool. Yep. Yeah, and if you don't have access to the machine, that's where IntelliTrace right, can play a role to help you diagnose a production issue.
Absolutely, yeah. Cool. And so then we have the IntelliTrace standalone collector if you don't, for some reason you can't get that remote debugger working for policy reasons, firewall reasons, whatever. Absolutely, you can collect a log with IntelliTrace, bring it back to Visual Studio and view it.
Yeah, lots of real-world scenarios. And here's another question from Dan, and this is a good one, around the kind of what we showed earlier with the breakpoints. And the question is, they like perf tips, and can you use perf tips as a way to hit a breakpoint, the conditional breakpoint? Can you say if it goes over a certain number of performance seconds?
So the short answer is, at the moment, no. As you asked about a while ago, about the Lambda stuff being the top user voice thing, we certainly are thinking about these types of scenarios, mm-hmm. but go put them on user voice and help us prioritize them by getting other people to vote for them.
Yeah, we're just getting started with this performance information during the debugging experience. There's a lot of places that we could take this, and some of the suggestions that we're getting here are certainly many of them. So if you're passionate about these ideas, please put them up on user voice and help us tell us what you'd want us to do next.
Yeah, the team is listening.
Yes. Yep.
Cool. All right, let's continue your demo because I think you're not done with what you were showing, or you feel
I am pretty much done, but I just did. I just wanted to get the memory view back up here because
sure.
now I've turned on the managed and native debugging.
Oh yeah, let's take a look at that. It's a good scenario.
Unfortunately, I don't have the my project isn't built with the latest C++ compiler, so I can't get the types to show up in the native view. But I'll just show you here 1 second. So when I take the snapshot button here, I now have the managed view right here that shows me the managed heap, and then I also get the native heap as well, and I can drill in into the allocations just like I would have done with the native heap.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I think this is very useful because these are real world scenarios, right? This kind of like cross debugging just makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So we had a question. Let's see. So where are all these enhancements that we're showing, where are they going to be? Basically, which Visual Studio? So 2015, right? When you guys RTM, that's where you can find, that's where you can go use it in production.
And we're showing it right here for, we have this is a managed C# store app right here that we're showing. We expect this to work for WPF as well. And as many places as we possibly can get it.
Cool.
By the time we RTM.
Well, I just want to say, I think it's worth noting as well that, you know, 2015 you said when we RTM, but everything we're showing today, you can play with in preview.
Mm-hmm.
As Dan mentioned, there's a blog post telling you how to go turn the memory tool on. You're going to have to flip a registry key. But everything is available in the bits that were made available yesterday to go download and play with.
Cool. And in Update 4, which we also RTM'd and shipped out at the same time, we have the new GPU tools, right? And that's something that that team's been working on. We have a video with Rong who kind of goes through the details. But I think the way that I'm trying to see our tools is great. You can look at CPU versus GPU usage. You can look at memory usage across managed and native. You can look at UI performance, right, in various places now. So it's coming together. I know they talked about in like the WPF space, for example, the UI performance analysis tools coming and other things is a great kind of vNext blog post. I know a lot of developers watching this could potentially care about WPF, so I suggest checking out that roadmap post that the WPF team actually made. And we get this question all the time, is there a team? Well, there is, and you guys are our extension of that team, right? Without some of this stuff, you couldn't get all these nice tools.
Yeah, so the as you said, I recommend checking out that WPF roadmap blog post that went out. It talks about the new diagnostic tools that we're bringing in for WPF as well, and yep, we certainly work with those teams a lot, and we try and help as many people as we can have great diagnostics features in VS.
Cool. And today, we talked a lot about, not just today, but like in an event yesterday, about cross-platform development. And one question I can see people having potentially is, how well does this, or not at all, potentially work with Xamarin Stack? So if, let's say, you have a Xamarin app, do you guys have kind of feedback on that? What will be there? So if you're right, I mean, you think you're writing C#, right? But you're writing it against different compilers, different platforms, potentially.
So our cross-platform debugging stuff is usually where we're leading on the cross-platform, and some of these higher-level profiling diagnostics experiences tends to come later. Mm-hmm. Right now with Xamarin, a lot of the stuff I'm showing doesn't apply, but Xamarin has their own Xamarin profile that they're working on and stuff like
that. Right, yeah, they did a Xamarin Evolve conference. I, again, recommend Xamarin's a great company. Take a look at what they're doing. But it's good to kind of understand, because I don't want people to invest time, download, install, try something if they can't take advantage of it.
Yeah, so these are Windows-only features.
Windows-only features, yeah. But again, I'm sure we'd love some feedback on it as well. All right. Is there anything else that you guys kind of want to hit? Are we hit everything that's shipped? Am I forgetting anything?
Do you want to talk about the support that we've added for Android stuff?
Yeah, let's do it. There you go. Thank you.
All right, so we've added two new things were announced yesterday in Visual Studio. So the first thing I want to mention is we've added support for C++ targeting Android applications. So if I now say new project in Visual Studio 2015, let's go find the C++, and you can find the new cross-platform node. You can see I have various types of projects for C++ that will target Android applications.
Yeah, Ankit touched on this earlier. We had a MDD session. If folks missed it, I suggest checking it out. He did a little bit of the demo here, but it'd be great to see it again from the debug perspective.
And so, as I'm sure Ankit talked about, and there's other places that are far better resources than me, but if you have a Java application that's calling a C++ library, you have the ability to go configure C++ library so that when you press F5 to start debugging, it's going to launch the Java application that calls the C++, and you can use the Visual Studio C++ debugger against it. And so if we just want to set a breakpoint in the our main entry point down here, let's just go ahead and set a breakpoint. Notice that, as I was talking about, because anywhere that I set breakpoints, I inherit the new breakpoint goodness.
Right, the capabilities there.
I have debugging support. And the other thing that has gotten a lot of really positive press I've seen in the last 24 hours is the new Visual Studio emulator for Android.
Oh yeah, this is a great thing.
So when I click Start Debugging, it's going to launch Visual Studio's emulator for Android. I'm going to see that start. You're actually going to be probably pretty pleasantly surprised with how fast it's going to start.
This is not a pre-recorded video. We can't cheat here, right? We can't edit out 10 seconds. So if it doesn't start fast, we're in trouble. Yeah, but I've seen it start. Well, one of the things that I can see people potentially asking is Zoom. Yeah, good point. So one of the things people could potentially ask is, well, great, I love the fact you guys made your own Android emulator, but I'm happy with my third party. You know, there's other emulators out there. Well, is what you're about to show me going to work only with our emulator story, or will it work with Android emulators generically? Oh, error. The live demo gods strike again.
That's right.
No, that's right. Well, let's just talk through it. We don't have to make it perfect. So what should have happened here, ideally?
So ideally,
let's pretend it worked.
My
it worked, right. Everything was perfect.
My application would have launched, and basically this loop is executing, it's processing all the incoming events, and so breakpoint would have been hit, and I would have had a Visual Studio debugging experience. Again, there's a blog post up kind of describing the features that you can expect to work and not work in C++, but we think we have a relatively good debugging experience.
Yeah, and it did start fast. I mean, it might have not worked, but I don't know if folks out there have tried the other emulators. Some of them are, yeah. Mm-hmm. We take a little bit longer. We'd have to go get coffee, basically. But would it work with those other emulators if you did go get coffee?
Absolutely. So our debugging experience, all the Visual Studio cross-platform projects, Visual Studio emulator is a choice, but we should work with any emulator, and it just needs to support at least API level 19.
19, yeah, with Android that is. That is always the trick, right, which API level. Cool. Well, I think that's great. I think we've showed a lot today. Folks can certainly read the various blog posts. Let us know your feedback. These guys are listening to the community, and I want to thank you both so much for showing up today for Connect Day 2.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. We'll be back again for the next session on Visual Studio IDE.